is it's been flying 10 years. The 10 years taking detailed pictures of the moon down to, you know, extremely high resolution. So it scanned the area quite a few times. You know, couldn't find anything. Scanned the area where it was supposed to have landed. And turned up, you know, people get to look at these pictures. They're amateur astronomers type of satellite, you know, that
goes off, that's for sure. It's
know if that's radar. I don't know about the radar yet for the car. It must have something to detect it. That is, if somebody comes to a blind spot, so you find down a highway, so you might have met somebody comes up like a blind spot, you know, those different ways to let you know somebody's there.
I think that's being done by radar. Because it's a lot easier with radar than with optical. It takes very high intelligence.
W2VL repeater.
WD2CSE.
W2VL repeater.
WB2ZC. WB2ZX mobile.
Hey dear. Just figured I'd see if Andy was awake or listening to the radio. Maybe earlier than I told him. Anyway, I am going to grab a cup of coffee, make a quick stop at the car dealer, and see if Andy's awake to meet me.
Yes, you have to do something with the antenna. I cannot hear it in my two attic antennas at all, and one of them's the important one. So, I don't know. Also, such traffic from Long Island. 2 hours to get to work today. I left at 5:40. The bridge was a parking lot. I've never seen it that bad. And that's the upper level. I don't know about the lower level.
Yeah, people forget rain. They forget snow until it comes down. You going to be around for a few? Because I'm just going in to get my coffee.
Not 2 blocks from work. We'll talk to you on the way home. WB2ZC, WB2ZX Mobile.
At 8:30, this is the W2VL repeater.
KB2KNH.
Charlie! Hey, you done sitting down, you know, for the duration of today?
Sorry, I didn't get that.
I figured you were sore from sitting down all of yesterday. You wouldn't want to sit down all of today.
Oh, I did sit down a lot, but I spent about half the time standing and walking around. Was one of those weekends.
Yep, I understand. Anyway, I'm just heading to my first stop. I should be there in a couple of minutes, I hope.
Yes, I know what you mean. I'm only about 10 minutes away from my first stop as well. Should be a simple one. It's a little toy printer, but been a heck of a week. Heck of a week.
More toys. Anyway, yeah, I gotta annoy my IT guy and see what's going on. Trying to put in the new solid state drive as an IDE drive, and for some reason,
The first one worked, the second one doesn't.
Really weird. Two different computer systems?
No, same computer. I have several drives in it, and this one's going to replace the C drive because I'm going to convert to Windows 10. And I did not want to overwrite the other drive.
I did the same thing on my laptop. Well, actually, I just pulled out the Windows 7 and slipped in another hard drive and put a new install on Windows 10. I just wanted to have the other information and the ability to go back clean.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm doing. And I got a feeling I'm going to have to put in an AHCI drive.
All right. Yeah, I know nothing about the solid states. I've never installed one yet. Probably should have it in my laptop because I know they're really quick. But, you know, they're coming down in price as time goes along as well.
Yeah, well, I just picked up a 500 gig Samsung for $59 over at Micro Center. And I think you can get a 1 terabyte for $99.
Sounds like a great deal. I think we buy from at work for all our copiers, hard drives to go, I believe.
Yeah. I usually do pretty good with Micro Center because they're A, local, and they're definitely competitive.
I used to work around the area all the time, and I would drop them when I needed one. it's good to have them and the availability. But, yeah, computers I don't play with much anymore. You know, they're just an appliance.
Yeah, well, it's not my primary thing, but I do it a little bit for work. And I'm good with assembling, changing. I'm not a software individual, although I do have some knowledge, and I'm smart enough to ask, which is something I learned long ago.
Absolutely, and you always have the University of YouTube. A lot of valuable information there.
Yeah, well, I'll find out.
Good luck with it. I hope it's not a bad drive. So I've got a bunch of IDE drives I held on to. Even some new ones in the foil wrapping, just in case somebody I know has one that goes down. You know, I know a lot of people have older computers.
Yeah, I'm just wondering which way to go with this. Sort of be twisted in between. I prefer to have AHCI, but I set up the other one as an ID, and it worked perfectly fine.
Well, you know, could it possibly be something in the master-slave configuration or of that nature, or no?
You know, I don't know, and I'm going to have to check that. It just gave me something to think about. Never a dull moment. Well, no, you want to know something. The BIOS sees it as an IDE. The problem is it does not want to format.
Kind of weird. You think anything new, you just be able to format it. I remember years ago I used to have to, make the computer see it before. Is it actually seeing it?
Yeah, and actually, it's Windows 7, which is in there now, sees the drive, but it can't use it because it's not formatted. Not formatted, and it won't format it.
I know I used to have to set up partitions in the right format as well, but I don't know if that applies to solid state.
Well, I can't do anything to it because, you know, for whatever reason, it won't let, you know. Anyway, I'll see what happens.
Good luck with it. Let me know if you figure it out. It'd be interesting to know. Anyway, just arrived at my destination. You have a safe trip, and good luck. Talk to you later. KD2KNH3.
WB2CSE.
WHA
Tony Andy, KTK Andy.
Yeah, it's wet. Rain, rain, rain. At least not snow. WA2CDL, how you doing?
Well, as they say, it's good for the rutabaga. Although the rutabaga is probably frozen by now, but the water is good. Anyway, today a work day for you?
Well, yes and no. I'm working, but I'm basically working out of the house today. I got reports to write from last week and other things, computer stuff to do. So I'm not going in to the place where I have to. I'm not going into the city today because there's we're not meeting today in the city. I got to find out about the rest of the week what the schedule is because they keep changing it. So. Because it depends on who shows up. but I am working, yes.
All right. That was a long explanation for yes, but okay, no problem. And let's see. What else? It was really raining pretty hard. Always concerned when we have that much rain about getting any water in the basement, so I always go down to check that, but hopefully it'll be okay.
Well, yeah, I do have water that gets in, but I know where it's coming in, and I didn't get it fixed yet. I gotta get that done. I was going to, but I just didn't get it done yet, so there's gotta be a little bit of excavation done on the side of the house. I'm saying because I'm just pulling out of the driveway. And I just turned the heat on in the car, and the air that's coming out of the vents on the dashboard, it smells like something's burning. I don't know what it is. I don't see any smoke, but I don't know. Something's not right. I gotta call the dealer anyway.
Hey, 2K, Andy. Were you seeing smoke come out of the car?
No. I said I do not see smoke coming out of the vents, but I smell something burning, but I do not see smoke. It smells like... See, now it disappeared. Let's see. All right. I gotta bring the car to the dealer because I had another little incident. I gotta have him take a look at.
Yeah. Well, particularly smells you want to be aware of, but you know something could have dropped, some water could have gotten on something, and as it evaporated, it gave off the smell. But okay. But do that sooner rather than later.
Yeah, well, now, this car has what they call eyesight, and I don't have it activated, but I don't know if it's on or off. And the reason why I say that is because on the dashboard, when I first turn the key, it'll come up with an icon telling me if eyesight is on or off. But that only happens sometimes. It did not happen this morning, which means maybe it's on and I don't know. When I was on the Bell Parkway Saturday, the car came by itself to an abrupt stop without notice, without warning. I mean, a hard, hard stop, and I thought I was going to get hit by from the back, and it did it by itself. So I'm calling the dealer today to make an appointment to find out what's going on.
That's something to take care of immediately and not put off. When I was looking at cars, one of the cars, one of the Toyotas, when you would cross a railroad track, it would see the track, or I'm not sure exactly what it was visually or virtually seeing, but it would see something as an obstruction and stop the car right in the middle of the railroad track. So if you had a car that stopped in the middle of a highway that is really bad. You need to, that you should just immediately go to the dealer. Well, you know, whatever it is, I'm sure it's just an adjustment. Whatever it is, they'll take care of it immediately.
Please, I get to speak the key up. Okay. Yeah. There were no cars in front of me that were close by. I mean, you know, the distance between my car and the car in front of me was no reason for it to come to a stop. It's as if it saw something that it was about to hit. So yeah, I'm calling the dealer today. But I got to get gas. I just pulled to the gas station. I'll be right back. WHCDL.
K2KNB.
Here is WB2 EAV Mobile listening.
Here is WHCDL Mobile sending. I just got back on. I got gas. And Richie K2KNB is out there. Hello, Ed.
Hello, Andy. Kind of soggy today. So it appears, again, as usual, one of us is going to work and one of us isn't, right? But if you go on work today, you'll be long gone by now.
If I was going to work, I would already be in the city. I leave pretty early. I take an earlier train. So, yeah, no, I'm working, but sort of out of the house. Doing some other things. I was listening to your discussion about aeroplanes. You know, the things that fly in the sky. I always like listening to you because you're knowledgeable as far as all the aspects of these new planes. And it's something that I thought about, just to let you know. I guess I've been watching some YouTube videos on from the cockpit. And they're live videos that's made in regard to problems that occur in flight. And what I saw, there was an issue where an engine failed, and the pilots, both co-pilot and main pilot, they have a book with them. They took out the book and they were trying to find, you know, the page to go to and what to turn off, what to turn on, and what to do. I guess, as far as training is concerned, like you said, they're making these planes simpler to fly, but they have to have the training of what to do in case of an emergency. Like you were talking about Sullenberg when he landed in the Hudson. That was an interesting thing that he did. Not interesting, that was amazing that he did that. Back to you.
Oh man, there's so much that you brought up. I'm not sure which one to start with. First of all, but thank you so much. Let me digress from the immediate topic. I'm going to say something that sounds like I'm so busy patting myself on the back and I just want to take my shoulder. But I am saying this seriously, and believe it or not, in humility. I have found that I appear to have a little bit of a gift of being able to explain, understand very complex things and reduce them to a level at the expense of some accuracy to get understanding. And I can back this up, why I'm saying this, with hard evidence. Short story. When I gave a presentation on this subject to a professional engineering group, it was like the end of a rock concert. They did everything but throw flowers at me. For that reason. All right. Let me drop over to item two. Airplanes have multiple engines for a reason. The assumption is one of the engines is going to fail. Single engine planes are not allowed normally to fly over open water. You're not supposed to fly a single engine plane further from land than how far you can glide it to a dead stick landing. Now, multiple engine planes aren't a panacea, they have their own problems, but at least if one engine goes out over the middle of the ocean, the other one should get you where you're going. Andy?
Yeah, I thought about that also. Yeah, it makes sense. Yeah, and I know I jumped around a bit. I was just trying to throw everything at you at once when you were talking about the Hudson River landing and the what the pilots really know, what they don't know, what they're taught, what they're trained. Yeah, so I figured that out. I said, well, what if a plane is in distress over the ocean? There's no place to land. You know, you can't just say I'm turning back and I'm going back to the airport. You can't do that because there is no airport unless they make airports in the ocean somehow. But you know, I've always wondered why they don't incorporate some kind of parachuting device. You know, if you know that your plane's going down and you have no control over it. And you're doomed. Can't they deploy something that will allow the plane to even land in the water, just like Sullenberg did, with some kind of parachute? I'm sure they thought of it, and it's probably not feasible. And that opens up a whole area of discussion why. But I will say, let me let it drop. I'll tell you something else.
Can I interrupt?
Yeah, go ahead. You can say it.
I think the name is Cirrus, like the kind of cloud, C-I-R-R-U-S. Cirrus Aviation makes a small plane. I think it's a two-seater, but it might be a four, that actually has that just kind of parachute. But larger than a four-seater, I just think the physics doesn't work.
WH1UB.
Oh, Rudy, good morning. How you doing? Give it to you. No, I understand that, too. I thought about that. I said, you know, for the size plane that the parachute has to do. And I just used the word parachute, but I was thinking of maybe there's some other way of landing a plane in the water. And I just used the parachute because that's the first thing that came to mind, but it wouldn't be a parachute. It would be something else. Yes. All right. Very good. Let me give it to Rudy because I don't want to take up too much time talking because I do that. Rudy, go ahead.
First of all, I heard the comment you made about Sullenberger. Sullenberger did what he was trained to do. He landed the plane safely where he could, and that's what he's trained to do. And looking around in a manual for the page, all manuals are set in groups, so if you have an engine failure, you go to the checklist for engine failure. If you have to do a water landing, you go to the checklist for water landing. It's really easy, but some of the steps might be out of order. Anyway, the SR-22 is the one that has the built-in parachute that somebody mentioned. And landing on water isn't all that difficult. It's been done more than once. I'll give it back to Andy because I don't know the rotation.
Okay, yeah. I know you're an authority on it also. That's Ed, WB2EAV, who I'll give it to right now. Okay. No, I understand. Again, my mind is thinking too fast. And I said, when I said something, looking for the page, yeah, they would know where to go. But the point is, they were looking for the page, you know, even though it's tabbed, and they would know which page to go to. And that was the next thing I wanted to say, because these cockpits, apparently they talk to you. And it actually kept saying, engine failure, engine failure, engine failure, over and over and over again. So the pilot doesn't even have to look at something to notice that there's engine failing. It's talking, it's telling you that. And then it started to do other things. Ed, over to you.
Okay, and hello, Rudy. Hey there. Yeah, Rudy, everything Rudy says is absolutely right. But let me add the following. There's a long history on ditching planes. In World War II, planes were ditched all the time. However, I must add, there is not a long, glorious history of ditching jet airliners. And frankly, I think the only reason Sully got away with it was because she ditched in the calm water of the Hudson. I think just about every attempt to ditch a commercial airliner in the open sea has ended up disastrously. Comments, Rudy, WB2EAV.
I guess it's my turn. There have been a few very successful ones. One of them actually was not a ditch plan, but it did end up in the drink, was a flight my father was on in the 50s. He was a crew member for KLM, and they ended up in the Shannon River due to pilot error, actually. Long story, not going to bore you with it. But ditchings have been carried out successfully, and some, of course, not successfully. But Sullenberger was able to land in the Hudson River. One of the prime reasons he was able to pull it off successfully, Sullenberger was a glider pilot. And those people know a little bit more about flying hands-on. The crash in Ethiopia had a co-pilot who actually did the right thing and then undid it, who had a total amount of hours in the right seat of a jet airline. I timed it out, of 300 some odd hours, and that is a thing that I think Andy was pointing to. All right, Andy.
Okay, sorry, you said he only had 300 hours? I think that's what you said, so you'll clarify that. That doesn't sound many hours. Okay. Yeah, because Ed was talking to somebody else about this. And, you know, the thing is, to make a quick decision, because you brought up the fact that when Sullenberg noticed the bird, I think it was a bird strike that took out the engines, and he had to make a quick decision whether to turn back and go back to the airport, you know, circle and do whatever he has to do to go back to the airport, or ditch the plane where he did. And I think you brought up the fact that if you know you have the time to go back to the airport, you would prefer doing that, of course. But I think in that case, quick decision said no, he's not going to be able to make it. So he ditched it where he ditched it. Is that true? Because I thought you were talking about that, Ed, too. Just to mention. Back to you, Ed.
Up in your beaches, yes.
Steve is acknowledged. Before I begin my lengthy talk, you want to pop in or just put you in rotation?
No, I just wanted to let Andy know I'm going to be in the back of the building. So when you come into the parking lot, almost go to defense and make a left. But I'll try to hang around and listen. Anyway, good morning, Ed.
Andy, do you get that?
Yeah, I got it. I'm a little bit annoyed because my GPS in my car won't let me put the address in where you are, Steve. I don't know why. I put the address in and it says searching and cannot find address. I don't know what that's supposed to mean. So I'm just, when I get there, I'll call you. I have the address. That's all I need. All right, no problem. Thanks, Steve. I'm on the southern state, but traffic is so slow. We're crawling here. We're just crawling. Ed, back to you.
Beaches, yes, bye.
Hey, Steve, did you consult Angie's GPS? Is it trying to get back at you?
No, I'm just kidding.
All right. A couple of thoughts. Rudy, if you're still listening, the example you gave of a successful ditching that your father was involved in was also in calm water. My comment is, your propeller planes were able to ditch in the ocean fairly successfully. I'm not aware of any commercial airliner that has survived a ditching in any kind of sea state. Now, as far as Sullenberger, by the way, it's an ER name, Sullenberger. I mean, normally I wouldn't care, but the name keeps coming up. Okay, here's the problem. You don't just turn, if he had turned around immediately, if he had heard a voice from God saying, you are going to lose all power permanently as you cross through 3,000 feet, he would have waited for that hit, or maybe better yet, avoided it, and turn around successfully. The problem, you don't just do that. It's an entire process you have to follow, and by then, he no longer had the time to go around, and a quick, you know, mental calculation shows no runway was viable anymore. And he looked around for the softest spot and picked the Hudson, which at 14 degrees Fahrenheit is not exactly the ideal place, but it turned out to work well, which is probably 25% brilliant skill and 75% blind luck. Andy?
I got that. I got. Let me give it to Rudy, because I don't know where Rudy is and if he's going to be signing soon. Rudy, go ahead.
I'm in my living room. Sullenberger was trained to do what he did. He did his job. He had the problem that he ran altitude. He couldn't take any airports because all the airports he had a chance at were surrounded by homes, and he didn't want to take a risk of short. Hudson River it was. The problem they had in losing the altitude was that they tried to restart the engines and they wouldn't. So he had to make a decision then to put it in the Hudson River, and it was very clearly, very well decided. Good man. Andy?
Alright, WH2CDL. I couldn't get my radio to key up. Let me just make sure I'm not doubling. Okay, I'm not. I got the beep. Yes, no, I recall when this happened, and I remember seeing it, and he did a fabulous job of landing where he did. And I understand that there's certain protocols that you have to follow in these situations. There's been more than one bird strike. I mean, I think that's, I'm not sure, which brings up a question. What do they do to prevent that from happening? There's been a few planes that have taken off from Kennedy that's been in the news that was hit. Birds got into the engine and then knocked it out. Maybe just one engine. I'm assuming, because I don't know how many engines on the Sullenberger's plane, I'm assuming the bird, it must have been multiple birds. And I guess they're Canadian geese, I'm assuming, because they have to be, because they fly pretty high. And I'm assuming that they got into all the engines, which was always a question I had asked myself, not just one. But I wonder what they do to prevent that from happening, because that's scary, because it can happen any time. But yeah, I understand the protocol. All right, Ed, back to you, and I'm still on the southern state, heading east, sorry. Go ahead, Ed.
And the Sully's plane had two engines. They hit a flock of Canada geese at 3,000 feet, which took out both engines. Later on, when Sully and his co-pilot, Jeff Stiles, were interviewed on television, I think it was David Letterman was still on. I think he did it. And Stiles said, Sullenberger said, you know, in my entire career, I've never lost an engine in flight. And Stiles said, I have, 3 times. He looks Sullenberger in the eye and says, only 1 engine at a time. You want to hear a more personal, similar related story that my son related to me last night?
Go ahead.
Try and call me.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, Ed. You got it.
I am pleased to announce that my son passed his FAA instrument flying check ride on Friday. But the way things were orchestrated, long story, but his instructor and he flew in the plane to a different they flew to a different airport, met with the FAA inspector. The instructor called was during the check ride. Then they had lunch together, and then my son and the instructor flew back to the home airport. And the instructor and the inspector know each other, and the instructor told the inspector the story that my son related. I'm going to drop it. Months ago, the instructor was taking a student for an instrument flying lesson, and they're on a landing system approach to an airport as part of the lesson, and the instructor points out that the ILS system is telling him he's below his, you know, approach glide path. And the student says, okay. And the instructor says, you're below glide path, pull up. And the student says, I'm trying. It's not responding to the throttle. The instructor says, I got the plane. He plays with it and realizes the engine died, which almost never happens in that mode. But here they are, slowly pulling down. And you need a certain amount of power to, you know, make the runway, and he didn't have it. Let me drop. Thankfully, it was very good weather. He was able to walk around, found a nice, muddy, grassy field, and put the plane down. And it was like a textbook emergency landing, but a small piece of the plane got damaged in the process. And because of that, they had to file a report with the National Transportation Safety Board. Let me know, John. The problem is, a lot of these do this stuff while we're waiting for an airline to call them for a job. And the airline contacts them recently, and it turns out he has to put the job on. They're not allowed to hire anybody with an open NTSB investigation, even though everybody agrees he was in no way at fault, nobody could have done anything better, and the damage was trivial. But because they got screwed by government bureaucracy, but it's not a high priority, it's taking them forever to close the deal.
Any landing you walk away from is a good one. And yeah, I understand the FAA's reasoning for that. But it'll get cleared up and things will move on. By the way, the hours that the co-pilot had in the Ethiopian airplane, I think, was 388 total time. Ed, just to give it back to you, if you have to finish up.
Yeah, I just parked at work. Good news is, here comes the other guy. I gotta run, but, my son right now, he's had training for a basic pilot's license and now instrument flying, and just from his flight lessons and the like, necessary to do that, maybe one or two joyrides, he has about 200 hours. That gives you an idea. All right, I got it on. Any parting comments before I go, Andy?
Yeah, it's nice that your son got his license and so on. I'm on the one-tone pathway, by the way. Just let Steve know if he's listening. finally. And we'll talk more about it. It's an interesting discussion, and I was just moving it forward from what you were saying. Okay. There's a few more things I wanted to mention, but next time we'll let you go. Ed, Rudy, go with you, say goodbye to Ed, and then I'll continue with you.
Okay, Major. WB2AV gone.
Okay, take care, Ed. I'll talk to you. I'll probably see you this week. Yeah. All right. Yeah, flying is an interesting thing, commercial flying especially. Both those 737 crashes were third world countries, and both were trapped, unfortunately, by a thing that was, I don't know, there's a very, very good website about details of those two particular crashes. Not going to go into that here. WA20B, just so to keep it legal. Andy, pick it up. You're almost there, too.
Yes, is there somebody else? I thought I heard somebody trying to add to this WA2CDL. Okay, I guess not. All right, and by the way, the there's that static sound, but that's the what's going on with that. If you've been hearing it, maybe on my signal too. Okay, I'm on the one, so I'll be getting off. Not too distant future, but we came to a stop, which is very unusual on the Wanto Parkway. Then again, it is raining, so who knows what's ahead. I didn't put Waze on to see. Yes, it is interesting. The thing is, I'm going to be doing some flying. Not myself. I'm not going to pilot the plane. I'm going to be a passenger because there's a few trips that I want to plan to take. And I enjoy flying, actually. It's a lot of... To me, it's fun. As long as I stay in the air, it's fun. All right. Very good. So, we'll put this to bed. And then we'll just continue. It's going to be raining all day today. And I don't want it to rain, but what can you do? At least it's not snowing. Back to you, Rudy. WA2CDL Mobile. Wanto Parkway at the Hempstead Turnpike.
Okay, yeah, I did hear that noise, and I was thinking it could possibly be because my antenna is physically very low, and I thought that was contributing to it. It's also very rhythmic. Anyway, I'm sure you hear it on mine, too. All right, Andy, as I said, I'm in the living room, so I'll drop the repeater and let some mobile. Remember the mobile people we used to have on here in the morning? Good Lord. All right, back to you.
All right, well, I'm mobile, and something, I see flashing lights ahead, I think. Something happened ahead. Wanto Parkway to be backed up is kind of unusual. Unless there's flooding going on. But I do hear the rhythmic static. That's the antenna, or one antenna that's flapping in the breeze. But we know what's causing it, and eventually that'll be fixed. So it's not on your end. Okay. All right, that's about it over here. All right, back to you, because I'm just thinking what else I could say until I get off the next exit, which I don't have too far to go.
I'm kind of talked out too. I think we beat the airplane thing to death here. And as having worked for the airlines, I got some inside information, but not a lot. And so, you know, it's been over 25 years, or almost 25 years I've been retired.
Yeah, I've been retired myself, sort of. Looking but retired, yeah. Time flies when you're having fun.
True that. Never regretted retiring, having a good time at it. I did work at West Marine and at Micro Center for a few years here. Actually, at West Marine, 10 years.
West Marine. Oh, is that a store on Glen Cove Road?
No, they don't have one on Glen Cove Road. One that was in Island Park. It's a boating store, you know, you buy boat and fishing supplies there. I'd like to say, because at the time I owned the boat, I had a 30-foot sailboat.
Okay, yeah, I forgot that you owned a boat. You did mention it, yes. I thought there was a West Marine on Glen Cove Road. Unless I'm thinking of something else, which obviously I am. Okay. One of my friends just bought one of these inflatable fishing boats, and it happens to be manufactured right here in Long Island in Port Jefferson somewhere. And he just found out that these inflatable boats, at least this one, develop microscopic little holes, and over time can lose air. And it's funny how he found that out. He hasn't put it in the water yet. But he's planning on it sometime, I guess when the weather gets warmer. But you attach two or three seats to the boat, and you can it'll hold I think up to 600 pounds, so you can have some people on board, and that's what it's used for. It's a fishing, you know, it's just a little fishing boat for a lake, not definitely not in the ocean. Not this kind of boat. And he's getting an outboard motor for it, a little trolling motor, so he could use that. So, that's what he's doing.
Sounds like fun. It's called Porosity, and it's not uncommon. And West Marine will be happy to sell him a concoction that he can paint on that boat to help ameliorate that situation.
Okay, I'm just... coming up to my exit right now, so here it is. Oh, now I know what he's talking about. I gotta go, yeah, I don't want to go to Old Country Road, I want to go left. Right. Okay. Now I got it. Okay, yes, I figured he would. Or, they would. But, I'll talk to him about that. Again, he hasn't put the water yet, so he doesn't know what problems he's going to have. He had some trouble getting the right kind of pump to inflate it, and but he finally found a pump that takes that would do it rather quickly.
Okay. You'll have fun with it, and I had a boat too that I used with this boat or independent.